tous les podcasts des 3-8, radiogrenouille.com.
Rediffusion d'un entretien avec Thurston Moore, fondateur de Sonicus. Entretien réalisé dans les studios de Radio Grenouille
à l'occasion du festival Actoral.
By the light switch, he hangs out with a star because the money is unspoken. He hangs out at the reading because it's where the music is he wants now. He hangs out. When the Minutemen first came to New York City, it made us all want to go to our rehearsal space and rehearse.
Vous venez d'entendre la voix de Thurston Moore, émission spéciale autour du festival Actoral. Dernière émission spéciale, Thurston Moore était hier à Montevideo en compagnie de Donick Lazarow et de Eileen Miles. Ensemble, ils ont proposé cette soirée sonorité du texte au son. Soirée sonorité parce que sonorité c'est aussi un festival qui a lieu à Montpellier, qui s'inaugure d'ailleurs ce soir, un festival qui croise la musique et le son. Et dans les studios aujourd'hui, Thurston Moore avec nous. Bonjour Thurston Moore.
Bonjour.
Avec nous également Stéphane. Bonjour Stéphane.
Salut Emmanuel.
Alors peut-être une première question. Cette soirée avec Donick Lazarow et Eileen Miles, c'était je crois une carte blanche qui vous avait été donnée. Comment s'est fait cette rencontre avec à la fois Eileen Miles et Donick Lazarow?
First question, this lecture concert yesterday was like a white card that was given to you. How did you come to meet Eileen Miles and Donick Lazarow? How did you come to choose and to work with them and to meet them?
It all comes through Anne James Chaton, who's a sound language poet from France and is a friend of mine, and he's somebody I met through a group of musicians from Amsterdam called The X, who are a very sort of politically charged punk rock group since 1979. And one of the members of The X, Andy X, asked me to join him and Anne James on a tour in France where Anne James would perform this sound poetry. And Andy X and myself would play guitars together. And Anne James was aware of my interest and my history in dealing with the poetry culture in New York City, which I was involved with to some degree. And so I met Anne James and we became very fabulous friends. And subsequently he presented to me this idea of doing a small tour in France of just focusing on poetry and getting rid of the rock and roll to some degree. And I didn't know if that was going to work or not because of the language difference. But I think it's cool.
Donc, Thurston Moore, qui est entre autres un des membres du fameux groupe Sonic Youth, mais qui est aussi connu pour ses multiples collaborations, d'abord été en contact avec Anne James Chaton, qui faisait cette proposition, qui fait aussi partie de l'équipe du Festival Sonorité à Montpellier. Hein. Et en fait, la connexion s'est faite via The X, un groupe d'Amsterdam qui passe souvent sur Marseille d'ailleurs, un groupe de punk assez engagé politiquement, actif depuis 1979. Et Andy X, donc l'un des membres du groupe, connaissait Thurston et l'a présenté à Anne James Chaton, qui lui a proposé de faire partie de... D'abord, ils ont fait une petite tournée en France autour de... plutôt de la poésie, parce qu'il connaissait l'engagement de Thurston Moore avec la scène poétique, on va dire, new-yorkaise, depuis déjà pas mal de temps. Donc c'était les textes d'Anne James Chaton avec les guitares d'Andy X et Thurston. Et là, cette fois-ci, c'était plus donc, autour de sa poésie lui-même et en laissant un petit peu tomber le rock'n'roll pour une fois. Il ne savait pas si la rencontre allait fonctionner, mais il pense que ça a été plutôt cool.
Alors c'est vrai, si vous êtes particulièrement connu pour avoir fondé ce groupe, donc Sonic Youth, et puis pour d'autres collaborations avec Merce Cunningham, Cécile Taylor, peut-être un peu moins connu en France sur le fait que vous êtes aussi auteur et éditeur, notamment du Poetry Journal, et rédacteur en chef des éditions Flowers and Grimes. J'imagine que à New York, vous avez croisé le projet poésie de l'église Saint-Marc, et j'aimerais que vous nous parliez un peu de cet endroit.
You very well known for your for being a part of Sonic Youth and also for very diverse musical collaborations. A little bit less known for your poetry work, and few people know that you're also doing an editor work with a review in New York. And Emmanuel just asked if you. I suppose you came in contact with the St. Mark Church and in New York, and could you tell us about it?
Yeah, St. Mark's Church on the Bowery is the home of the Poetry Project, which is a gathering of, it's a collective of the New York poetry scene, and it was founded in the 60s. And Allen Ginsberg and Ann Waldman and Gregory Corso and Joe Brainard and Ron Padgett and Ted Berrigan and that the whole scene that was in New York at the time that was coming out of what was considered the first New York school of poetry, which was Frank O'Hara, and which centered around Frank O'Hara. It established a center of activity, and within this collective, they created workshops so for younger people to come in and sort of learn from these masters who came out of the 50s and the 60s. And so it was a wonderful place, and it continues to be a wonderful place. I was aware of it as a teenager in the 70s to some degree, just because of my interest in the literary aspects of rock and roll, from Bob Dylan to Patti Smith to the whole CBGB scene, which sort of had a very distinct connection to poetry. Certainly Patti Smith and Richard Hell and Tom Verlaine were working poets who were using the form of rock and roll to sort of express themselves. And that really attracted me because I had a sort of a preternatural interest in literature, as well as a very excitable interest in rock and roll. So being 18 years old in the mid-70s, it was a perfect situation for me. And I lived close enough to New York, maybe one hour and a half, where as soon as I was able to drive, I drove to CBGB. And I was aware of the Poetry Project, but it seemed a bit more obscure to me. Maybe I was too young or whatever, but I had this dream of, you know, moving to New York and being a poet and running away with some kind of Patti Smith girl and writing poetry in attic. And in a way, I still have this dream. But it was later in my years, and I think well into my late 30s, early 40s, when I started becoming more active as far as seeing what was happening on the poetry scene in New York City and working as getting seriously interested in working in poetry and what that means artistically, and as opposed to just being kind of a weekend poet or a rock and roller writing, publishing poetry. I didn't want to be that. I wanted to sort of really study the history and the form of it and that lineage that existed both academically and also outside of the academy. And so that's what I've been doing. And subsequently, I've been teaching at Naropa University in Boulder, Colorado, which was founded by Allen Ginsberg and Ann Waldman as an adjunct from the Poetry Project for students to come and learn from a faculty that would always involve people like Gregory Corso and William Burroughs and Kathy Acker and Ishmael Reed, and now it's, you know, it's still pretty heavy, and so I've been really happy to be there for the last 3 years.
Alors, il est toujours très content de vivre à New York et puis d'enseigner aujourd'hui dans le Colorado, dans une université qui a été fondée par notamment Ginsberg, Burroughs et d'autres. Mais cette histoire, en effet, avec l'église de Saint-Marc commence depuis le milieu des années 60, où c'est un collectif de poètes fameux à New York, dont certains considéraient le rock'n'roll comme un véhicule naturel pour exprimer aussi leur poésie. Et lui, qui vivait quand il était adolescent, un petit peu autour de ses 18 ans, à une heure et demie de New York, était déjà conscient de la connexion qu'il y avait, on va dire, entre la scène poésie new-yorkaise et la scène rock, le CBGB, etc., où il se rendait régulièrement. Mais c'est que plus tardivement qu'il a voulu, c'est une fois la trentaine, la quarantaine atteinte, qu'il a voulu travailler cette dimension-là de manière plus rapprochée, pour ne pas être un poète du dimanche ou un rocker qui fait de la poésie de temps en temps. Et donc là, il a vraiment travaillé pour entrer en contact naturel avec l'expression poétique, que ce soit du point de vue de son histoire un peu académique ou de son histoire hors de l'académie. Et voilà, alors vous avez reconnu pas mal des noms qu'il a cités. C'est une tradition très riche à New York, hein, où je répète les mêmes noms, mais les Ginsberg, les Burroughs, les Ishmael Reed, etc., qui sont certains de ces poètes.
Je vous propose d'écouter un autre extrait de la soirée d'hier. Thank you. Thurston Moore, extrait de la soirée Sonorité qui a eu lieu à Montevideo le 9 octobre avec Denis Lazarow et Eileen Miles. Thurston Moore, on parlait tout à l'heure de William Burroughs et si on regarde un peu votre poésie, il y a aussi, en tout cas hier c'était le cas dans la soirée, quelque chose du cut dans votre poésie. Est-ce que vous pouvez nous parler de cette influence qu'a eu, j'imagine, William Burroughs dans votre écriture?
Could you tell us about the influence of Burroughs in your own writing and this, I don't know the exact term, but...
Cut up.
Yeah. Thank you.
William Burroughs has quite an influence on a lot of rock music that most people who love rock and roll probably don't know about. I mean, certainly, I think the Rolling Stones were sort of interested in creating lyrics that were sort of inspired by this idea of taking texts from different places, usually texts from what's, and James Chaton sometimes considers, quote-unquote, poor literature, which is just sort of like the text of the detritus around you. The slips of paper in your pocket, the newspaper that's on the floor on the metro or something. And taking these elements of literature that are sort of in the gutter and kind of rescuing them and elevating them to a place that is creative. And I think what William Burroughs and Brian Gysin were doing was taking these found texts and cutting them up and putting and rearranging them and creating sort of like a third mind of literature. And sometimes it was it worked in a very sort of mysterious and evocative poetic way. It was especially in these newfound accidental rhythms that would happen and such. And it would also make the mind sort of come to new ideas. So it was an experiment. It was definitely experimental literature. And I have read about how Mick Jagger and Keith Richards were cutting up lines and rearranging them and making songs out of them at some point, especially during, I think, Exile on Main Street. I think William Burroughs's works like Naked Lunch and Soft Machine and The Wild Boys as novels that use the cut-up routine are really sort of kind of amazing works of literature because they completely take you away from this kind of standardized idea of what a novel could be, certainly. And it becomes almost a otherworldly kind of event for the reader because it works... It makes your mind sort of completely go to a place where the words themselves become sort of these kind of little elements of magic, And it really focuses on language. It sort of, by disturbing the language, it sort of it makes you kind of consider the linguistics of what's happening in a way that you would not really sort of happen upon just by reading narrative in a more sort of traditional way. And a lot of it has to do with, it shares the senses. It becomes more of an audio thing just of the sound of the words and the voice. And especially when you hear William Burroughs read his works. I mean, William Burroughs was very inspired by like early American working class kind of survival mode of culture. And he was really interested in the texts of like the hard-boiled crime writer. There's a famous book that he was very into by Jack Black. It was an American writer, and it's very sort of this sort of narrative by a man who who hops the trains and the rails and works from one job to another and goes to jail. And it's written in this very tough American kind of crime speak. And that's how Burroughs would talk. And he would talk as if he was sort of on the rails. And it had a really beautiful like quality to it, and just really had a really sort of surprising kind of poetic to it. And how influential it is to me or other rock and roll bands, I think it really is sort of a matter of Burroughs was so genuine in his presentation as this old gray eminence that he was just—he was like more rock and roll than anybody could ever be in a way. He was very genuine. And he was very—he was kind of a badass in that sense. And I think a lot of young people like Patti Smith at the time really recognized that and tried to sort of expose that to more people as far as that being an interesting. An interesting person on the American literature landscape to investigate.
Donc on parlait tout à l'heure de la fameuse Saint Mark's Church in the Bowery. Il y a déjà Sir Stone Moore parlait des liens avec la scène qu'il y avait dans les années 60 avec des gens comme Bob Dylan ou Patti Smith que je omettais de mentionner tout à l'heure. Là, tu le questionnais, Emmanuel, sur l'influence d'un William F. Burroughs sur lui, et plus largement, il rebondissait en disant que ce travail de cut-up qu'ont initié Burroughs et Brian Jason notamment, qui est une manière de récupérer peut-être des textes, ça peut être autant un bout de papier qu'on a dans la poche, ou un autre qu'on trouve par terre, ou deux textes différents, en tout cas, et d'en faire une sorte de texte nouveau, comme un troisième esprit de la littérature un petit peu a inspiré en effet non seulement évidemment en termes poétiques un petit peu toute la scène littéraire mais aussi pas mal de groupes de rock. Il citait l'exemple des Rolling Stones qui dont l'album Exile on Main Street est notoirement inspiré de ce travail là aussi et ou pour les textes Keith Richards et Mick Jagger se sont livrés aussi à un travail de ce type de cut-up. Donc voilà, des groupes aussi connus que Burroughs, que les Rolling Stones ont été influencés par Burroughs. Il disait aussi que c'est vrai qu'il y a c'est un personnage en lui-même aussi, que ce soit dans sa manière de se présenter avec monsieur habillé un peu en gris comme ça, qui finalement dans son authenticité était peut-être plus rock que tous les rockers, quoi. Et puis sa manière de lire aussi, très inspiré par toute une littérature américaine dont un auteur qui citait qui s'appelle Jack Black, qui est plus une littérature qui tourne autour d'histoire autour criminels ou de vagabonds, de gens qui vont en prison, tout ça, avec une écriture un peu directe, brute, et j'ai envie de dire, quelque chose qui est plutôt considéré comme de la basse littérature, généralement, quoi, on va dire. Il avait une manière aussi, d'habiter les mots, et avec un côté direct qui vient de cette littérature-là. Et puis, autre chose encore, c'est peut-être la dimension que le cut-up a apporté et à la poésie et à l'influence que ça a eu sur le rock aussi, c'est que cette manière de jouer avec les textes, en utilisant aussi des matériaux considérés comme de second ordre, on va dire, reconfigure complètement non seulement le sens des mots, c'est-à-dire que d'un coup c'est une autre musique qui se fait entendre dans le langage, d'un coup, dans cette poésie-là. Et puis, surtout aussi, joue sur la... Et ça rejoint ce que je disais sur la manière qu'avait Burroughs de lire. On joue sur la sonorité, véritablement, des mots. Et là aussi, il y a une influence qui va être peut-être plus musicale sur la scène rock, qui vient en effet de cet auteur-là particulièrement. Donc, on a pu l'entendre avec Donny Clazereau hier, qui s'est livré lui aussi à un solo, et puis il y a eu un morceau qu'ils ont fait tous les trois avec Elaine Miles, qui était la troisième participante de cette soirée dans le cadre d'Actoral, de Nicolas Roux, fameux saxophoniste de la scène free française. It's not the first time you're collaborating with a free jazz musician from France. When I say free jazz, in a broad sense, Dominique Lazaro was here yesterday, but you worked already with several people. What's the connection with that scene, or is that more something of individuals, or do you feel a connection?
I feel a definite connection to the musicians who their vocation is to be devoted to investigating free improvisation as a musical language. People like Dominique Lazaro I've been interested in forever. I have his early recordings. I was very happy to see that he was playing last night. I was very excited. I've never seen him play. I've never met him. And it was wonderful watching him doing these free improvisations on baritone saxophone last night. He's a master of this. And he comes from a school of playing that I've always been very sort of interested in. Not always. I think I came to it through my interest in wanting to investigate jazz music in the 80s because I didn't really have much history with that as a rock and roll person. But I realized that as I got older, I was seeing that a lot of people were referencing this jazz history, especially avant-garde jazz history from Sun Ra and Archie Shepp and later Coltrane. And I wanted to know more about it in my 20s. And so I went to some of my music freak friends who were into it, and they made me all these cassette tapes of this information. And I spent a long time just really listening and reading everything. So I went into it where I started at the very beginning with Coleman Hawkins and Fletcher Henderson and Lester Young, and then I moved forward into the 60s. And then when I saw how it became radicalized by the politics of race in the later 60s and what that brought into the music, and then looking at the European scene and how that sort of was so inspired by American jazz, but eventually sort of created its own identity away from just the model of the African-American sound, where it needed to define itself on the European landscape, and moved away from the idea of it being jazz music or free jazz music, and regarded it as free improvisation, which was seemed to make more sort of sense as far as an identification. And I became very interested in that because it was all about communication of ideas through what was happening with the relationship between the musician's mind and language and his instrument, and how it was getting away from the standards and patterns of music, and just really looking at what the sounds were and what the feelings were of just the instrument and the ideas of improvisation, how you would tell stories through music. Certainly Dominique Lazaro was doing that last night, where you could sort of see him sort of being in these places, and where he would move from one place to another, and what that decision was and how magical it was in his mind, and sort of he was composing on the tongue, as Allen Ginsberg would say about improvisation. And it's a really sort of, you know, to me, it's a very sort of wonderful and sophisticated way of thinking and working with music. So I really got interested in that at some point, and started collecting all the documents. As a record collector, it's a wonderful place to find, because it's there's this huge library of music out there, and it was basically musicians communicating with each other. This is, you weren't hearing this on the radio so much, and you hardly were hearing it in any kind of commercial way. So it really appealed to me, and I started, it really helped me musically. I was able to sort of focus on aspects of my relationship with what I was thinking about when I was playing and what I wanted to express without having the anxiety of composition come into play. So these players like Dominic Lazaro became very important to me. So it was a real honor to sort of not only see him play and hear him play, but to actually sort of play a little bit of music with him as well last night.
Donc ça a été un honneur pour Thurston Moore de rencontrer, d'écouter et même de jouer un petit peu de musique avec Dominic Lazaro hier soir, qui considère comme un maître et qui a livré cette improvisation au saxophone baryton. Il a fait, depuis qu'il avait la vingtaine, un petit peu tout le chemin de la découverte de cette histoire musicale, depuis les origines, presque, j'ai envie de dire, Fletcher Anderson, Coleman Hawkins, jusqu'à des Sun Ra, Archie Shepp et les années 60, où cette musique qu'on a fini par appeler le free jazz s'est aussi radicalisée autour des problématique de la race aux États-Unis, quoi. Et puis, il trouve très intéressant la manière dont les musiciens européens se sont justement saisis de ça, en prenant des distances peut-être par rapport à cette problématique-là, et en même temps, en faisant leur propre territoire, terrain d'expression, et en relabellisant ça, on va dire, comme musique d'improvisation libre. Il se souvient d'une époque où voilà, il allait voir un peu tous ses potes qui écoutaient de la musique qui était un peu barrée, entre guillemets, qui lui ont fait des cassettes, tout ça. Il a vraiment exploré tout ce champ du free jazz, de la musique improvisée européenne aussi. En tant que collectionneur de disques, c'est vraiment un territoire intéressant, disait-il, et puis il s'est beaucoup, beaucoup documenté autour de ça. Et donc, ça l'a. Il trouve ça intéressant parce que aussi. Il s'agit de comment du sentiment vraiment du musicien en tant que dans la pratique même de l'instrument, de la perspective particulière qu'il y a sur l'expression du son, sur la manière de raconter une histoire en dehors des formats et des standards habituels de l'expression musicale. Et lui aussi, dans sa propre pratique, ça sans doute nourrit sa propre pratique en lui permettant de sortir un petit peu de l'anxiété du compositeur, notamment, et en lui permettant de peut-être d'avoir une pratique musicale avec une perspective là encore plus axée sur l'expression sonore et sur les sonorités de manière un peu pure, quoi, j'ai envie de dire.
Je crois qu'il est l'heure de nous quitter. Thank you, Thurston Moore.
Thank you very much.
Merci beaucoup d'être venu. Peut-être qu'on peut se quitter en musique, je crois qu'il.
Avec un extrait d'un disque de Clark Coolidge, poète, batteur, et Thurston Moore, et également Anne Waldman, mais qui n'est pas présente sur le titre qu'on va écouter, le court extrait qui s'appelle She's Crazy, So Am I.
Ok.
You did choose it. Yes.
Yes.
Extrait de l'album Come Through in the Coal Hole de Coolidge, Moore, Waldman.
It is the enthusiast's conceit that rock and roll leaves the stage. It now trades books at the front of the room. The words are useless and demure, and she talks like an animal, her umbrella screeching on the street. Feminine beauty is all else bows. The storm is natural enough. This has everything to do with you and your tiniest hair. Be a warrior. Love life. Appearing this morning, last night's magic workshop. Not only not real, but openly gay and indeterminate. Nun's smile, voluptuous and crazy. How I wish to be on you, a meadow, pounded by rain.
C'était un entretien avec Thurston Moore. Fondateur de Sonicus, entretien réalisé dans les studios de Radio Grenouille à l'occasion du festival Actoral.
Chronique, émission spéciale, sélection musicale, radiogrenouille.com.